This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Americans woke up to hear this news on the radio 63 years ago today, December 7th, 1941.
We have been on the telephone with our station KGMB, which is in Honolulu, and they report to us that the attacking planes number between 50 and 100, that the air raid is still on, and that the anti-aircraft fire can be heard in a steady drone.
More than 2,400 Americans died at Pearl Harbor that day, a date which will live in infamy, in the words of President Franklin Roosevelt. Many sailors and soldiers at Pearl Harbor were as surprised by that Japanese attack as the people back home.
We were in a peacetime Navy. We just had not adjusted to a possible wartime situation.
We thought they were Army planes practicing, but then when they dropped the bombs, they swooped around and strafed us.
A voice came over the PA system that said, these are real bombs. All hands, man your battle stations. Get moving. A cruiser has just been sunk.
Pearl Harbor survivors John Murphy and Stephen Young. Stunned and angered by the loss of ships and aircraft and men and women, Americans demanded to know who was responsible for leaving American forces so vulnerable.
And within weeks, a commission appointed by President Roosevelt fixed blame on two men, Lieutenant General Walter Short, the Army commander in Hawaii, and Admiral Husband Kimmel, the commander of naval forces there. The commission found that each had been derelict in his duty. The family of one of those men has spent the past six decades trying to clear his name. Here's NPR's John Itzty.
In the fading light of a late fall afternoon, Edward Kimmel, Admiral Kimmel's only surviving son, switches on the light in the dining room of his Wilmington, Delaware home.
This picture is a picture of my father, painted in 1941, when he was commander-in-chief of the United States and Pacific fleets. And as you can see, he's got four stars on his shoulder boards.
Since his retirement 20 years ago, this former corporate lawyer has worked with single-minded determination to restore those four stars to his father's shoulders and reclaim the admiral's honor.
It was just outrageous the way they handled him. They told him he wasn't on trial, there was nothing to worry about. 6 weeks later, they said that Kimmel and Short were 100% responsible for the disaster at Pearl Harbor. They had been derelict in their duty, and blah, blah, blah.
Ned Kimmel is 83 years old now, tall and slightly stooped, but his eyes are bright and intense.
I'll let you go on up first.
Every day he spends time in this upstairs office, doing research, writing letters, trying to erase the pain his family has felt since December 7th, 1941.
This is my war room. And they've got all kinds of mementos, got pictures of my father. And
Kimmel was a college student in the spring of 1942 when he saw his father for the first time after the attack.
He came up to the Princeton campus. He was a beaten man, like a dog with a tail between his legs. He thought it was all his fault. Everybody told him it was his fault. And he had no reason to think otherwise.
But that changed dramatically in 1944 when Captain Lawrence Safford, the Navy's former chief cryptographer or codebreaker, discovered that officials in Washington had withheld secret information from Admiral Kimmel, information from decoded Japanese diplomatic messages that provided clues about the attack on Pearl Harbor.
He became incensed at the injustice. So he got on a train, he went up to New York City where my father was working, and went into his office and told him about all of this. And at that time, my father turned from a beaten man into a fighting tiger, and he said, I'm not going to be the fall guy for this operation.
A year later in Washington, Admiral Kimmel himself told congressional investigators he'd been denied vital information.
The information available in Washington from the intercepted dispatches, which told when and where Japan would probably strike. I did not get this information.
The secret information, codenamed MAGIC by the U.S. government, included transmissions between Tokyo and its embassies during the fall of 1941. It also included a so-called bomb plot message from Tokyo to the Japanese consul in Honolulu, requesting the precise locations of the U.S. naval vessels in Pearl Harbor.
Where is this ship? What's that ship? Where is it located? When do they come? When do they go? And all that kind of thing. Undue interest on the part of the Japanese in what was going on at Pearl Harbor. None of those messages that I've just described to you were made available to Short or to Kimmel.
The top Army and Navy brass in Washington, General George Marshall and Admiral Harold Stark, saw the messages, but the Pearl Harbor commanders were kept out of the loop. Kimmel and Short had been warned by Washington that a Japanese attack on an American target was imminent, but everyone expected that it would come not at Pearl Harbor, but thousands of miles to the west, possibly in the Philippines. The final message decoded before the attack included a deadline which pointed to Japanese action at around 7:30 a.m. Honolulu time. In Washington, Admiral Stark received the message more than 4 hours before the attack took place.
His staff urged him to send a message to Kimmel. He said, no, he says, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to call the president. Well, the president was indisposed and couldn't come to the phone. So then he sat twiddling his thumbs, doing nothing, until Marshall came in.
Ultimately, the message didn't arrive until after the Japanese attack had begun. In 1944, a naval court of inquiry concluded that Kimmel had not been derelict, but had acted appropriately given what he knew. But the chief of naval operations overruled the court. In 1995, a Defense Department review of the case concluded there were others who should share responsibility with Kimmel and Short for the catastrophe at Pearl Harbor. Daniel Martinez, chief Park Service historian at the U.S. Arizona Memorial in Pearl Harbor, is co-author of a soon-to-be-published book on that investigation.
There are other people that are involved in the complicity of blame all the way up to the White House.
Martinez says that includes Admiral Stark, General Marshall, and President Roosevelt. All miscalculated the Japanese, both militarily and politically, he says, and all, including Kimmel and Short, suffered a failure of imagination.
An idea of a carrier assault on Pearl Harbor and the island of Oahu and its air bases was inconceivable to these individuals.
Pearl Harbor ended the era of battleships and ushered in the dominance of the aircraft carrier in naval warfare. What the disaster teaches us, says Martinez, is to never underestimate your enemy and to be prepared to fight the next war, not the previous one. Ned Kimmel continues to focus on the war his family has been fighting with the government for 60 years. His most recent victory in that war was congressional action that concludes Kimmel and Short acted professionally and competently and urges the president to restore the officers to their highest World War II rank. So far, the Bush White House has declined, but Kimmel is undeterred.
If I can't get this president, if I'm alive, I'll get the next president. And if he doesn't do it, I have people following me who will take care of that because I think it's the right thing to do. And I think my father has suffered long enough.
Ned Kimmel, son of Pearl Harbor Commander Admiral Husband E. Kimmel. I'm John Itzte, NPR News.
You can find facts and photos of the Pearl Harbor attack on our website, npr.org.